There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Today, with the support of Dr. Harris, I'm extending our current Safer at Home order until the end of August. This will include extending our statewide mask ordinance through August 31st.
Was that current or current? I detected that was current, is what the governor was saying. That's how we get started on this Midday Mobile. Yes, the governor had the presser, and we're masking, and we're continuing to mask, and we're masking, and we're masking, at least through August 31st. We'll get more from that presser that aired just about an hour ago here in just a couple minutes. I do want to set up a couple things on today's show. Hey, y'all, Jeff Poore is going to join us at about 12:35. We'll talk about the governor's presser that you're about to hear. Also on the way, I've got to talk some Washington here, because I don't know how I didn't see this by this morning, but I now have stumbled upon these quotes. And yes, I dug for the audio. The audio wasn't there, but the transcript of what went down in a meeting between, this was a meeting in Speaker Pelosi's office suite, in there with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, also Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. There, we're talking about, obviously, this HEALS Act that the Senate is working on and what they may do in the House on it. And I'm just going to, we'll come back to this, but I got to give you some, just something to digest here. Animal husbandry in Washington, down on the farm in Washington. Okay, here's the quote that I read from the transcript. So Pelosi said to the room, okay, this is what they're saying. Pelosi said to the room, which included Schumer, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, "It's like a giraffe and a flamingo. They're both at the zoo. A dumb person may think they could mate for offspring. A smart person knows that's impossible. That's our bills. They are unable to mate." End quote. Now, it's again from the mind of Nancy Pelosi. She's picturing here a giraffe and a flamingo. I don't know if she's saying they can't mate because of the height of the animals, or the fact that one is a mammal and one is a bird. I don't know exactly what. I'm hearkening back to a South Park episode where they spliced animals together, but that from Schumer, then he wanted to get in on the action. So Pelosi said, "It's like a giraffe and a flamingo. They're both at the zoo. A dumb person may think they could mate for offspring. A smart person knows that's impossible. That's our bills. They're unable to mate." So here comes Schumer. He wants his he wants his swing at it, and he's going to go with the flow here and stay with the animal analogies. So Schumer then says, "A golden retriever can't mate with a chihuahua. You have a chihuahua, we have a beautiful lion." Ladies and gentlemen, these are some of the people in Washington that are running things. I just thought I'd let you know. We'll get back into that. Also coming up in hour number two, we'll talk about what's happening this weekend on the USS Alabama, living history reenactment on the USS Alabama. These are great events, and we'll talk more with the executive director of Battleship Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb. She joins us about 1:05 on the show today. So let's do this. Dalton, if we can get things queued up, let's run to the first part of this presser, Governor Ivey addressing the state and talking about masks for another month.
Because our Safer at Home order expires this Friday, July 31st at 5 p.m., Dr. Harris and the idea are here once again to provide an update to the current order as well as to what changes will take place going forward. After my remarks, Dr. Harris will provide the latest COVID-19 numbers for Alabama, as well as where we are in our efforts to try to contain this disease by reducing its transmission, treat it the best we can, and hopefully get this virus behind us one day in our rearview mirror, and that day can't come too soon. Before we get to the updates today, I think it's only fitting and appropriate that we make a few comments on the passing of a true Alabama civil rights icon, John Lewis. Since his death, so much has been written and said about Congressman Lewis, it'd be hard to add much more to his incredible story and his truly inspirational life. But I, for one, was very pleased that our state led the nation in giving Congressman Lewis an appropriate and, I think, a very fitting send-off for a life well-lived and a true example of service above self. Whether it was when his horse-drawn carriage paused atop the Edmund Pettus Bridge, resting on the red rose petals that contrasted with his own blood that was shed some 55 years ago, or having our state's troopers stand and salute as the congressman passed over the bridge for one final time. Alabamians came from all parts of the state to pay their final respects to this proud son of Alabama, native of Troy. We're grateful to the Lord that we had him for as long as we did, and our thoughts and prayers continue with him and his family and friends and all the lives that were touched because of John Robert Lewis. May he rest in peace. Today, with the support of Dr. Harris, I'm extending our current Safer at Home order until the end of August with a few minor modifications, which I will explain in just a minute. Y'all, these decisions are not easy, and they're certainly not fun. And there's no way in the world you're ever going to make everybody happy 100% of the time. But one thing is for sure. Tough decisions are a lot easier to make when you're on the sidelines than when you're actually in the arena. Now, I've said many times since my very first press conference, back when we were all still learning how to pronounce coronavirus, that when you've been elected governor, you've got to try to do the right thing, not necessarily the most popular thing. And there is such a fine balance, as we have discussed countless times, in factoring both the human health as well as the economic health into the equation. And as I've said before, my administration and I have made our share of mistakes during this pandemic, but our goal has always been to make more good decisions than bad, hopefully leading to more positive results along the way. As for today's new order, this will include extending our statewide mask ordinance through August 31st. And while no one enjoys wearing a mask, I'd be the first to tell you that because of the help and support we've gotten from our friends in retail and business, I believe we are making progress in this arena. Y'all, we just must remain vigilant if we're going to get our kids back in school and keep our economy open. And wearing a mask can't hurt, but it sure can help. And more people are seeing this for what it is, a way to protect yourself as well as to protect the others that you work with, come in contact with, care about, and those you even love. And speaking of our schools, I want to encourage every superintendent, every principal, every teacher, and every parent who's listening, we don't have the luxury of not getting our young people back in school. Well, I respect those districts that have elected to go to virtual classrooms. I feel with all my heart that a slide will come by keeping our kids at home, especially if there are other options. And that slide is likely to have a dramatic negative impact on Alabama's future, our young people. So here's a challenge to all of our school districts and each of our schools around the state. Nothing is set in concrete. And if the COVID-19 situation in your community or counties permits, you should be looking to phase back into in-person classroom participation if at all possible. Now, while a majority of Safer at Home order will remain the same, there is one addition to this order that will impact those schools providing in-class instruction. They will now be required to wear masks whenever practical from second grade through college. We know that with all responsibilities of being a teacher, that this can be an added burden to require that a mask be worn. But just as we are focused on creating a safe and healthy environment for our students, it's also important that we take care of our teachers as well. Other than our parents, one of the most important persons in a child's life is that teacher of that child. And many of our students and their families rely on school for more than just classroom activities. School is a safe place where many of our children get their healthiest meal of the day and where they are loved and encouraged as well as taught. As a former school teacher myself and as president of the state school board, I'm telling you we need to do everything we can to get our kids back in the classroom as soon as possible. As Dr. Harris makes his way up to the microphone, let me again thank the people of Alabama for your understanding, for your patience, for your support, and your willingness to help us get through these difficult days.
All right, let's cut right there and come right back. We'll get Dr. Scott Harris's comments. Watching this earlier was interesting. Governor Ivey not really knowing. She'd have the mask on, then she'd come up and talk on the mic, and she'd take the mask off, of course, and then she'd go back and stand and let Scott Harris come up, and she'd forget to put the mask back on. Then Scott Harris would come, take his mask off, and speak into the same mic. All right, coming right back, more of this and your text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I wonder if the ABC stores or the ABC folks wore a mask. What if bars wore a mask when they delivered the booze at 11 o'clock if they could keep serving? I have so many questions here. And I'm about to listen to State Health Officer Scott Harris. I wonder if he could, as a man of science, could help me with the discussion I had at the beginning of the show. Speaker Pelosi saying, you know, it's like a giraffe and a flamingo. Or Chuck Schumer saying, it's like a chihuahua and a golden retriever. I wonder if we could ask Scott Harris about that. Would that work? We'll get into this stuff more later on in the show. All right, let's continue with the presser from today. And Scott Harris talking about the COVID numbers in the state.
Dr. Harris.
Thank you very much, Governor. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Let me just briefly give you an update on where we are in Alabama. As of this morning, we are at 81,687 confirmed cases so far. More than 22,000 of those have been confirmed just in the past 2 weeks. We added about 1,345 cases yesterday. I think there's a question as to whether we maybe are flattening out a little bit over the past 3 to 4 days, although I think it's a little early for us to say that. I would say overall our numbers are not yet particularly encouraging. I think we are still continuing to see fallout from July 4th holiday and from the transmission events that we seem to have around that weekend. We unfortunately are at almost 1,500 deaths here in our state. Actually, 1,493 Alabamians have died from COVID-19 since this response began. Over the past few days, our hospitals have set several different times all-time highs in the numbers of confirmed inpatients. A couple of days ago, they were right at 1,600 inpatients, I think 1,599. 2 days ago, 1,598 yesterday, but basically about 1,600 inpatients plus a few hundred other confirmed cases. These numbers are as high as we have ever seen. And It's very consistent with what we saw around Memorial Day. We had big spikes in numbers of cases after Memorial Day, followed by hospital surges, and I think we have seen something very similar now around the 4th of July. I will say we're at around 10,000 total hospitalizations since this response began back in March. And interestingly, more than 5,000 healthcare workers have been infected in doing their duty to take care of other Alabamians who are sick. So that continues to be a significant issue for us. I want to say thank you to Governor Ivey for extending this order. I think that's absolutely the right thing to do. I fully support that. I'm very aware that many people don't like the idea of having to wear a face covering, and certainly I don't either. And I know people don't like being told what to do, and I don't either. But I do believe that it's the right thing to do. I know early on we had mixed messages on that. I personally gave some of those because we were just trying to give the best evidence that we had at the time. But today there's no argument about whether these are effective. Physicians and public health officials and medical researchers all have a consensus that this is the best tool that we have right now for preventing transmission of disease, short of everyone being locked in their house, which we certainly don't intend to see. So please let me ask all Alabamians to continue to wear these. I've been so encouraged to see so many people who are wearing these and who are following the rules that we would like for them to follow as we begin to move towards school reopenings. It's going to be more important than ever that people be willing to wear face coverings if we want our schools to minimize the number of cases they have and minimize outbreaks and the risk of closing again. We really need people to cooperate with continuing to wear face coverings. It's really more important now than ever. We still have several months to go, at least, I think, in this outbreak, and we know we'll get through it on the other side eventually, but we all need to work together and cooperate and pull together in order to do so. So thank you very much, Governor Abbott.
All right, so comments from State Health Officer Dr. Scott Harris. Did you hear that? He said we still have several months to go in this, which I hope he's right. It's that short. Who knows how long we have to go in this? But if he just finished saying the masks are key to keeping the numbers down, and then also says we have several months to go in this, is there a tell there? Right now the governor's order is through the end of this month, but let's go forward. 4 weeks here. Are we having the same conversation going into September? I would imagine unless something drastic changes, the answer will be yes. And even if something drastic changes, don't you think the argument will be made that look how good this is working. This is fantastic. We need to keep it going to minimize the number of cases. That's going to be, I imagine, part of the discussion. And if it does, if the mask mandate does work and hopefully gets us over sooner than later, it's a, I would say, a positive thing for our state. Problem is, there's a lot of people who still don't believe that it's going to make a difference. And yes, there are enough anecdotal ways to go, or anecdotes out there to look at people not wearing them correctly. Look at the governor, what she was doing during the presser. You can pick these things apart, but will some use be better than no use of the mask? It sounds like that's the opinion of the state. What do you think? Talk about that with you. And Jeff Poore joins us here shortly, and we'll talk about the we'll double down on the announcement from this morning. If you did not catch it in the 8 o'clock hour, big news here at FM Talk 106.5. As of Monday at 9 o'clock, starts the Jeff Poore Show here on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff, full time with us, part of the FM Talk 106.5 family. So Mobile mornings will go from 6 to 9, then from 9 to noon, the Jeff Poore Show. Then Midday Mobile will start at noon. So a block of 8 hours in a row of live local radio that puts us up. I think we're at 58 hours a week of live local shows here we're producing at FM Talk 106.5 right here from the studio. So great stuff. All right, and on the flip side here too, just what I was talking about at the beginning of the hour, Don says, good afternoon, Sean and Dalton. I think President Trump should mandate an executive order requiring everyone in Washington take a drug test because I think somebody's eating ice cream laced with THC or actually just firing one up. Ben said, would it be called a Flaraff or a Jamingo? As you look at this card, wait, if you didn't catch it here, this is just, I wish I could, the audio, I have not been able to find the audio, but I did find the transcript of a meeting that went down yesterday in a discussion of the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats on this next bill. This one called the HEALS Act. Instead of just calling it CARES Act 2, they've named it the acronym here, HEAL, the HEALS Act. And that's H-E-A-L-S, not H-E-E-L-S, which would be very funny in that. But yeah, the quote we talked about, if you did not catch it, I just want you to know, the run through some quotes of people that are running this guy, people that are duly elected, high-ranking members of our federal government. Yesterday in Speaker Pelosi's office, there was a meeting, had Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer there, also had White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows there, and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin in there. All right, so the quote Pelosi had here said to the room, she said, "It's like a giraffe and a flamingo. They're both at the zoo. A dumb person may think they could mate for offspring. A smart person knows that's impossible. That's our bills. They are unable to mate." Okay, so we're so in Nancy Pelosi's mind, she's picturing a giraffe and a flamingo, and it not working between them. And then Chuck Schumer had to get in on the action. He had to roll with the analogy, you know, like me too. He said, "A golden retriever can't mate with a chihuahua. You have a chihuahua. We have a beautiful lion." Now, where do I even start on that one? So in Chuck Schumer's mind, he's picturing a golden retriever and a chihuahua, which would actually might have to do some work here, but that could be possible. But then he says, "We have a beautiful lion," but the lion's not a dog; it's a cat. Chuck Schumer, these are the people that are running the show. Okay, these are the people running the show in Washington. Oh my gosh, pray for us, please, Lord. Prays for us. All right. Coming back, we'll get an update from Dr. Bill Williams, a weather update, also news update. And then when we come back, we will be talking with Jeff Poor about what happened here with the president, governor's mask mandate being extended to August 31st. Some of the politics around this as well. And maybe I'll get him to try to translate what happens when you put a giraffe and a flamingo together and a chihuahua and a lion and a golden retriever. It's out of control, really. The animal husbandry stuff is out of control in Washington.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. It's Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. I'm sorry, I'm reading through y'all's text. Yeah, Randall's saying nothing in the world like a cat dog. Yes. We'll tell you what we'll do here. Our next guest and now part of the full-time FM Talk 106.5 family. He's always been a cousin of the station, but now a full family member, Jeff Poor, is joining us. And I'll ask him about the what Speaker Pelosi had to say and what Senator Schumer had to say about the two bills out there and flamingos and giraffes and cats and dogs and all that stuff in just a second. But right now, y'all say hello to Jeff Poor. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. So, and we all won our bets here when we thought the governor would extend the mask order, right? I mean, I think there was no big surprise on that one.
No, it's roughly the same order, safer at home order that we do and love, except there's some provisions added to it for if schools open up in your particular school district.
Yeah, and it went from second grade through college, right? Mask required for school.
And teachers, right? So,
yep.
Yes, so kindergartners and first graders are get a reprieve.
Well, I think they probably realize. I mean, you can't hardly keep like shoes on kids that age. So, I mean, the mask may be impossible. But I mean, you start looking at, second, third, fourth graders, fifth graders. Maybe it'll become new habit for the kids, but at first it'll probably spend more time policing masks than they will be teaching, you know, until the kids get used to that.
I mean, I defer to you on the behavior of kids, but if you ask me the difference between a first grader and a second grader, I mean, I would like to see the science there that justifies the second grade being when you're mature enough to wear a mask.
Yeah, well, you know, they moved those ages around. I know in Mobile's mask ordinance, at one point, I think they were saying like 3 years old. Then they moved it to 10 years old. It's arbitrary, too, because, I mean, when you're in that age group, you know, there's one child that's mature enough to do something, and there could be a child in a grade or two ahead of them that's not mature enough to do it. So I don't know. I mean, it's a directive here. But you mentioned the amended Safer at Home order. And I don't know if anybody has seen this. I've retweeted this a couple times from the governor's office. It's the red light, yellow light, green light. And we were for a while there at the stay at home order. Then we moved into the amended Safer at Home order. And these all have listings of, you know, what the rules are around it. But the green light, you know, home base here, safer apart, which is strange to me, Jeff. It's not even back to normal. Safer apart is what they call the goal. There's still not any kind of directive under that. The goal that we're going to get to, if we get to it, it doesn't even say what that's like. It just says, and it's said this for 3 months, more updates coming soon as we continue to monitor the COVID-19 situation. So, I mean, I don't even know if we get to the green light, we get to that point, what that means, because it's not like everything's normal. It's called safer apart.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's whatever the national media cool off on this. It stopped scaring the heck out of people. Our elected officials. That's all it could be. There's no consistency here with Governor Ivey and the state health officer with their directives. It's varied at times. The statements have contradicted each other, and I think they're very apprehensive. They want to keep a very, very. They want to keep it very open, very vague. I think intentionally, just to have that extra wiggle room. It seems like to me.
And with that, you got going back to school, and I wonder how much of this is driven by. I'm not saying that there's people that aren't doing this because they think they're doing the right thing and they're caring for the children. I believe there are people that have, you know, whether they're right or wrong, their heart is in the right place. But there's also some CYA here, right? Until something's done, which, and we'll get into that in a second, from Washington or Montgomery, which would be next year, with some kind of liability protection. I can imagine school districts are like some businesses out there. They want to show that they've checked off the boxes in case somebody comes back and says, whether it's a teacher or students saying, hey, I got coronavirus because I had to go to school.
Yeah, and then they take it to court and they sue the school system and for medical liability or whatever. And while they may lose that case, it becomes a burden, a legal hassle for the school system or the business to deal with. I think it's mixed on that. I think the one big part on the mask order is to kind of give businesses some leeway, and they now can force their customers to wear a mask. I always thought they could if they wanted to. It just kind of gives them the ability to say, well, we're just following the law. A lot of people are adverse to wearing a mask, and we can, you know, debate the merits and all that. I don't think that's important in this conversation. I think what's important is it does seem like a CYA, as you said, for certain entities. And until we get some kind of liability protection, but even then, I think there's still going to be court challenges. We're going to be litigating this far into the future.
It's sad because you can look at it and go, okay, just with the science I know now, I can make an argument that you cannot prove where the person got coronavirus, but that's not the point for a small business or a school district like you said. I mean, they got to litigate it. That's time and that's money, and those are things that are going to keep people from, you know, wanting to risk it. I mean, yeah, sure, they may win. It may be a pyrrhic victory, too. If you win and it costs you so much in legal fees and downtime with your business, you lose your business. So, well, you won, but you have no business.
Right. You spent all your money on legal fees and trying to prove what an act of God is and what an act of God isn't. And it gets into that realm, and then you have to put a mortgage on your business or whatever, borrow, bond out. I don't know how the school systems, some of these school systems can barely keep the lights on. They would defend it, but and that becomes... That becomes the issue, not so much whether it's right or wrong, and then you really get some damage.
Yeah, I mean, there's two types of CYA here, in my opinion. You mentioned the businesses before, and I agree with you. I think the businesses, I said from the word go, they had the right, private business could mandate mask or say no mask needed, or, you know, would make their own choice. That's fine. But I think what happened here is you've got companies out there that no matter which way you go on this, whether you were demanding people wear masks in the store or not requiring it, there's going to be people that are PO'd. And I got to tell you, businesses aren't in the business of politics, are in the business of making money. So when you have a statewide ordinance, something come out here and say, you know, whatever somebody says, they say, oh yeah, I agree with you, man, but we got to, you know, we got to follow the law. This is the law. It is an ultimate, you know, cloak of CYA for that business. I mean, if somebody's, you know, offended that they dare ask to wear masks, well, they can say, listen, we're just right. complying with the law.
Right. Because a lot of people, you go to Walmart and or you go to any, like Whole Foods or Publix or wherever you go, and they, before the mask ordinance, they would have masks available and say, we prefer you wear a mask, please wear a mask, but they couldn't force you to. Now they could force you to because they could say, we have to follow the law.
But, and if, yeah, if you wanted, exactly, if you wanted the, if your opinion was that people should be wearing the mask, but you didn't want to lose any business, at least now you can say, hey, it's not us, it's them right. on this. All right, let's also talk about a couple other things. So State Health Officer Scott Harris talking in there as well in that presser. He said something towards the end of his comments that he said, you know, could be several months of this going forward. And I guess, meaning the fight against coronavirus. I hope he's right. It's just several months. I mean, from what I've seen now, it could last, you know, I don't know, a lot longer than that. But I wonder if there was a tell there that if we're not having this same conversation in late August, that there's another presser from the governor and she's going to continue the mask. I mean, where you said the arbitrary nature of this thing, and that's right. Where's the benchmark for, okay, when we reach this point, we won't have masks? You know what I'm saying? When is it going to be okay? Because I could argue the other side of it and say, hey, if we really drop the number of coronavirus cases in the state, I could say, look how great it's working. Let's continue this, you know?
Right. They're going to do whatever they... I think this governor, compared to the states that surround Alabama, just kind of, they just kind of go as they go along, right? They think of what the next mandate is, or whatever the media is saying, or whatever the Montgomery Advertiser at AL.com is saying. They're obviously not going to shut down the state again. However, they don't want to. But however, I've heard some lawmakers talk about that possibility. But as far as a bench, there's no benchmark. Is it to lower? It was to flatten the curve initially. Remember, we're going to flatten
right.
the curve, and then what? Right. So and then you look at everything else that can come out of this. Is it to eradicate the disease? Is it to wait for a vaccine? What is it? That part, that question remains unanswered by Governor Ivey.
You know, the vaccine thing, too, is a whole other question. Now, I don't believe that our polls are scientific, although, my gosh, they seem to line up with, you know, we'll do our poll, and then there'll be some well-funded poll with a bunch of participants in it, and we come out with kind of the same number. But we asked that question of, you know, if there was a vaccine, you mentioned vaccines, if they were available today, would you take one? And I think it was like 74% or so of the folks that took part in the poll said no, they wouldn't take the vaccine. So even if you get the vaccine, and people aren't taking the vaccine, I mean, you know, where do you go from there? I mean, are they going to say, all right, well, unless X number or percentage of people take the vaccine, you know, we're not going to open back up? Or will it be, you know, for schools, your kids have to have certain vaccinations with some exceptions. To go to school, will they say, hey, will this vaccine be required before kids can start school in 2021?
Yeah, I think that's probably what you're going to see. It will be that way, maybe even at some workplaces where you're in close contact with people. It may be like that in the service industry. It may be very expensive to do this, but I think it won't be a... It'll still be voluntary, but the incentives will be there for you to do it because you won't be able to function in society in many realms unless you do it.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poore. We're going to talk about the show debuting on Monday, and then I'm going to have to get his take on Pelosi and Schumer and the animal husbandry question, and maybe the bigger question about who really is getting screwed here. Is it the American people? We'll talk about that when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. And, this is great. Looking through the text here, he's saying, I'm so excited about the Jeff Poor show. Good move, Sean Sullivan. And he said, I'm excited about the local and statewide stuff that Jeff will cover, that and the national stuff as well. Jeff, let's talk about that. You debut the Jeff Poor show here on FM Talk 106.5 on Monday. You and I have been working together for a decade now, but now getting you officially on board with a three-hour show. I know I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great for your audience. I think it's going to at least kind of help Mobile become a player. I've always been surprised how a lot of elected officials, statewide officials, kind of look at Mobile and Baldwin counties as a runaway province of some sort. And right. my hope is to make that to kind of shrink that gap.
Well, it's gonna be shrunk, and I love it. It's really exciting, and y'all, that sets us up starting on Monday of live local radio from 6 in the morning to the Paul Feinbaum show, and then all the shows we do in the evening and on Saturday and Sunday. I think we're up to 58 hours a week of locally produced programming, and I couldn't be prouder of the staff and all the folks that make that happen. Hey, Jeff, here just a couple other questions here on the mask ordinance here, and this one's specifically for liability. Will the legislature in Montgomery do something to protect Alabamians on liability? Jeff, I mean, that's a thing that can't happen till they have another regular session or the governor calls a special, right?
And there's no indication that Governor Ivey's going to call a special session for prisons for anything. I have thought The governor's fear is that they would override her mandate for the special session. They'd go after some other things. So we may be looking at 2021 before the legislature is able to tackle this. But I know we're talking to a lot of members, very, very powerful members, that this is a priority. In both the House and the Senate, getting to something is a priority for those members.
All right, I want to talk about Washington with you here for a second before we wrap. And I start off the hour with I wish I could have the audio, and I've dug around for the audio, and I cannot find it. What I can find is like the transcript of the audio of what went down yesterday morning in Speaker Pelosi's office here, and reported by a couple people reporting, but this from Politico says this. It said, on Tuesday, during a meeting in Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office suite, the Speaker and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer had a point to make. The Republicans' $1 trillion COVID relief plan and the Democrats' multi-trillion dollar HEROES Act are simply irreconcilable, which, let me point out, it's $1 trillion for the Republicans' HEAL Act, and it's about $3 trillion. It's $1 trillion for the Republicans, $3 trillion for the Democrats, because it's all trillions these days. And so during this, here's the quote. It said, Pelosi said to the room, it's like a giraffe and a flamingo. They're both at a zoo. The dumb person may think they could mate for offspring. A smart person knows that's impossible. That's our bills. They're unable to mate. And then, not to be outdone, so Schumer chimes in and said, a golden retriever can't mate with a chihuahua, which, let me point out, I think that's wrong.
They
he said,
can.
You have a chihuahua. I think they can, yes. But then he went on to say, you have a chihuahua and we have a beautiful lion. These are, and point out that the lion is a feline and a cat, and the chihuahua is a canine, but don't worry about that. These are the people running the show, Jeff. I mean, this is who's running the show.
Well, I in some ways, Nancy Pelosi's metaphor there maybe probably is more accurate than you realize. I mean, they are so far apart on this, and, from a very simplistic view, to think that Washington can just get along and they can find stuff to agree on, it doesn't really work that way. And the Pelosi effort is much more than just $3 trillion. It's a lot of things to do with elections, a lot of the social justice, hobby horse kind of stuff. All of that's in there, too. They have done some mental gymnastics here. to make it sound like it's part of coronavirus relief. But they are so far apart on the Republicans in the White House, or the Senate Republicans, are so far apart from the House and the Democrats that it'll happen. I think it'll happen eventually, but they got a long way to go.
Well, okay, so you do think something will happen, because often, you know, we're talking about messaging bills here, especially within 3 months of the election, and that it would be, good for the Democrats to message that they're going to do more for the American people. But in reality, if they're asking for something that they're not going to be able to get through, they're asking for more. Republicans asking for less, although I could take task with the Republicans and some of the things have been jammed in there as well, that you get a situation where if you were deft as a Republican, you would turn it around and say, hey, when you don't get your stimulus check, when you don't get your PPP extension, it's courtesy of the Democrats because they're holding this up for political reasons.
Yeah, but the Democrats could probably do the same thing and then even add more sweeteners to it.
You're not going to spend as much money as them?
Who wins and loses the messaging war? It's going to be decided in the court of public opinion, and usually that's Republicans, but if you remember, early in the Trump administration, there was a shutdown, and it was, it looked to be like it was, I guess it was after the midterms, Pelosi's fault for the shutdown, just an intransigence couldn't come together on a budget, and two or three days, the Democrats saw they were losing, and all of a sudden, they come to the table, and they hammered out an agreement. So I think this will be decided in the court of public opinion, and it's going to be decided on an awful way to do it. It's going to be decided on whatever poll cast or whoever gets to breaks through the message barrier, and then Democrats have an advantage because they have the media.
There you go. Jeff Foer, you'll be able to hear that kind of analysis 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, starting Monday right here at FM Talk 106.5 for the Jeff Foer Show debut. And Jeff, thank you, man.
Hey, Sean, always, thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Jeff Foer. Big thank you. All right, coming back next hour, we check it in with the USS Alabama and their Living History crew drill that's going on Saturday. I recommend this highly to you. We'll talk more about that with General Janet Keene coming up next.